Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Intel inside, but how many will be on the outside as the tech giant looks at a possible 20% layoffs? Rethinking rent pressure zones by looking at what 50 other countries are doing. US Secretary of State a no-show at London peace talks on Ukraine. Are they another false start? Looking back on 20 years of YouTube clips and how it changed the culture, our Waterford librarians are back with more top reading tips, and GP Morifin will be taking your questions on everything related to skin lesions. Please text us with those or any other questions. WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32. Text 51551. You can also email todaycb@rte.ie. Well, as you just heard in the headlines, Intel is set possibly to slash more than 20% of its global workforce, with reports from Bloomberg this morning saying the company is set to streamline operations and reduce bureaucratic inefficiencies. Here in Ireland, the company employs nearly 5,000 people with its main base at Leixlip in Kildare and an operation at Shannon. In a moment, I'm going to hear from Minister for Research, Innovation and Science and TD for Kildare North, James Lawless. But first, I want to turn to Adrian Weckler, Technology Editor with the Irish Independent. Adrian, very good morning.
Good morning, Philip.
Bit of a health warning here. The company has not confirmed anything that you're about to tell us, but tell us what you know.
Yeah, so look, what this is largely based off a Bloomberg report. I mean, Bloomberg has a pretty reliable track record on reporting on this issue. And basically what they're saying is that Intel is considering and is likely to lay off up to 20% of its staff. Now, to put that in some context, they employ just over 100,000 people worldwide. That's already about 15-20% down on what they employed the year before. And as you said, or as the bulletin said, just under 5,000 in Ireland.
Adrian, have we lost you there?
Oh, you, am I here?
No, sorry, you are.
Sorry.
it sounded for a second like you had dropped out. So 5,000 employed here. The reports from Bloomberg say that they are targeting managerial inefficiencies. Mm. Is Ireland mostly concentrated on fabrication at Leixlip?
It is, yeah. Now, look, this isn't a huge surprise that Intel would be trimming its managerial staff like this. So the new CEO is a guy called Lip-Bu Tan. Now, to understand what's going on in Intel now, you have to understand this guy. And he was the CEO of a company called Cadence, very, very lean, sort of relatively low staff operation. He actually was on the board of Intel up until last year, but he left the board after a row with the then CEO, Pat Gelsinger, because he argued that Intel was bloated, that it had too many staff and had too many layers. Now he has been appointed as CEO last month. And the first thing he does, the first major initiative he does is, surprise, surprise, announce that Intel is going to get rid of a whole lot of people.
If indeed this does come to pass, it's not, it would appear, a strategy that is being employed in order to maximise profits, but because Intel is actually in something of an existential crisis.
Oh, very much so. So to understand the hole that Intel is in, and it is a hole, you have to understand the technologies that it has missed out on over the last two decades. So most of us are used to thinking about Intel as this chip giant inside, you know, most or every laptop or desktop computer. But that became almost its handcuffs. It missed almost completely first the smartphone revolution, which is the computer device most of us use now, and then the AI revolution as well. So the company that really benefited from AI and AI chips is a company called NVIDIA. Used to be a niche gaming company. It's now worth $2.4 trillion. It's one of the top 10 companies in the world. Compare that to Intel's market cap of $85 billion. So NVIDIA is now multiple times the size of Intel because Intel missed out on making those chips. And it's still catching up. Like in Ireland, they invested 17 billion euro, spent that on building this new plant there. They call it Fab 34. And as chip plants go, it's pretty advanced and it's capable of building. It's capable of building AI chips, particularly Intel's new 18A variant, which which it's basing a chunk of its future welfare on. But that's a long-term catch-up strategy. It's going to be a long time before Intel actually comes anywhere near catching up the likes of NVIDIA.
I gather that Intel is somewhat unusual in this world right now because it is both designing and manufacturing its own chips. Might it also be able to manufacture for companies like NVIDIA who only design?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of its big initiatives over the last couple of years was to create what's called a foundry. Now, if you look at the chip industry and the main players there, I've mentioned NVIDIA, but there's a company based in Taiwan called TSMC, and that essentially is, if you like, a manufacturing plant that makes a lot of chips for other companies like Apple, for example, for its iPhones. And what happens is Apple will design those chips and then TSMC has the technology to make it a reality and actually give them the chips they want. Now, Intel has this launched this initiative a while ago, pretty recently, to create a foundry division that it would do the same thing. But these are medium to long-term bets. Like, we think of the tech industry as being something that can change from quarter to quarter, and financially it can. But the chip industry, the semiconductor industry, you build something, it takes you 3, 4, 5 years to build, and you don't get the payoff for another 5, 6, 7 years. So it may work, but it won't work for a while.
Reading between the lines of what you're saying, and correct me if I'm summarizing this incorrectly, that in the short to medium term, if indeed 20% of layoffs do happen, Ireland should remain relatively unscathed because it is primarily manufacturing. But in the long term, unless Intel manages to come up with an AI chip product that rivals or beats its competitors, the future of the Intel plant at Leixlip is far from guaranteed.
Yeah, I'd say that's spot on, Philip. Now, just to add one other nuance to that, there's one other reason. There are two main reasons why, if you're working at the Leixlip plant or you're related to somebody working there, you shouldn't be panicking at the moment. The first one is because they did invest that $17 billion in that plant, that Fab34 plant. That is a 10-year plan. It makes no sense to anyone to walk away from that. So you would say that's pretty secure. And the second reason is that they sold off half of that, 49% of it, to an American hedge fund last year for $11 billion. And there are very, very likely clauses in that which would mean they can't walk away from it, or they'd have to repay a huge amount of that $11 billion back to the American hedge fund.
And explain this to me. They did that in order to fund further expansion, did they?
That's right. Yes, that's right. So Intel has a major cash problem. Last year, I think their financial results were absolutely disastrous. They lost an absolute fortune and money, and they needed cash. So that was the they made a $19 billion annual loss at a $53 billion.
So what you're saying is that the safety net here for Ireland is that that company that they sold to will presumably hold their feet to the flames to make sure that there is some kind of manufacturing going on in that plant for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, that plant will be making chips for years to come.
All right. Adrian Weckler, thank you very much. James Lawless, Minister for Higher Education, Research, Innovation and Science. A very good morning to you.
Good morning, Philip.
Well, is it a good morning? What have you learned?
So, look, I suppose there's a couple of things going on here. I'd agree with most of Adrian's analysis. I'm very familiar with Intel in my current ministry, but also as local TD. I would know the team there. I visited on several occasions. I'm due to meet them just as part of my normal engagement, actually in 10 days' time. So it's a company that I work closely with on an ongoing basis. A couple of things that I'd say, and again, I'd agree with Adrian. So the plant in Leixlip has about 4,900 employees. Of those 4,900, 3,500 are in advanced manufacturing engineering-type roles. Of the remaining 1,400, a number of them are in chip design. So in the context of what is only a rumour, but in the context of speculation that there may be cuts to refocus on the engineering side of the company globally, Leixlip is well placed because it is already focused on engineering, chip design, advanced manufacturing. So I think if you're looking at cuts and kind of trimming the fat, there's not a whole lot of fat going on in Leixlip in the first place. The second thing I'd say is the foundry is based at Leixlip. So we heard Adrian explain what that is. That's really exciting. I remember when they announced that a couple of years ago. So rather than just making their own chips, they're creating a fab, an environment where they can do advanced manufacturing to other designs. That's quite innovative. It's quite new in the industry. I think they may be the only company doing it. It is a long play, but they're making the right moves towards that. So I think on those two counts, I would continue to be confident and positive about Intel's operation in Ireland, and also the fact that it's just spent $17 billion in 2022 on expanding the plant. And every time I drive past it, you can see the diggers still at work, and they still continue to expand as they've done for many years. So I suppose I'd pivot away from Intel specifically then and talk about the general environment. So
Well, before you do, let's just dwell here for a moment longer, please. So obviously some of the difficulties that the company is facing, as Adrian has outlined, are of its own making or because its competitors are doing better than them. But there's a political element here as well. Intel secured nearly $8 billion in grants from Joe Biden in the form of the CHIPS Act. Donald Trump doesn't like that deal. Did the government do anything to support Intel's position on the maintenance of those grants in all of the St. Patrick's Day meetings?
So the CHIPS Act is not just any US phenomenon. The EU also have a CHIPS Act. I was involved in negotiating the Programme for Government, and the Programme for Government explicitly calls out the EU CHIPS Act within the text. So we are already, even before this announcement, well before when we put the government together, we've committed to supporting. We also want to have, we have a national semiconductor strategy in being, and we have, and the CHIPS Act. What the CHIPS Act means is that for geopolitical reasons, Europe wants to reduce its dependence on third parties, namely China, to be honest, and other countries in the Far East, and locate that technology, intellectual property, intellectual capital within the EU. And where better within the EU than Ireland and Leicester to do that, because it's already doing it. So the CHIPS Act means that for lots of geopolitical reasons, there will not be a mass exodus of chip manufacturing and design to China and the Far East, and I suppose geopolitical rivals. Trump might be doing whatever he wants to do in the United States. That's his business. He's a democratic elected president. But in terms of Europe and Europe's CHIPS Act, there are very good reasons why, obviously economic, but also from a political, strategic and intellectual property viewpoint, why we want to continue to support chip manufacturing. Mm-hmm. Because ultimately, this is key intellectual property in the economic race of the next century. Who has the intellectual property and the technology know-how will decide the winners. So the EU has already committed to that, to its own legislation, and that's recognised and called out specifically.
And we are competing now against fellow EU members, and we missed a trick there recently, didn't we, when Intel was looking at making further investment in Galway, but ended up being enticed by Magdeburg in Germany. Was that a costly error?
So there's an ongoing battle all the time, and I would have worked with Intel on many bids over the years. So Intel is, like any multinational company, is a competing, its biggest competition is actually internally. So every time a new fab goes into Leixlip, it's a fab that was also being bid for in Arizona, historically Israel, perhaps other EU member states, and that's always part of the process. Any big multinational has an internal competition for sites. You win some, you lose some. Obviously, we want to win more than we lose. Generally, we do. That's why the fab operation at Leixlip has continued since 1989. To expand with the most.
And are you afraid that these events might actually represent the high tide mark in our relationship with Intel, and it's now going to decline?
So, look, I suppose there's a long-term prognosis for the company. The company have recognised that they fell behind a little bit in terms of the designs, in terms of the chips and the artificial intelligence wave and the smartphones that Adrian talked about. They have taken steps to, I suppose, address that. They're working forward towards that. I think critically, and this is why I was going to look to the bigger picture, I have a real commitment as Minister for the sector to focus on research, innovation, research and development, to support the higher education sector, to skills development and capacity. And that's really been a pillar of our economic growth and our industrial policy since the mass, in fact. That's the reason Intel are here in the first place. That's the reason that multiple other tech companies, life sciences, pharma, biosciences, etc., are all here, digital, because we have an educated workforce. More than that, we have a investment and a priority placed on research and innovation, which is very much in sync with those companies' outlook, because ultimately this is how we succeed. We don't succeed by making widgets that you can make anywhere in the world cheaply. We succeed by producing high-value products which are supported by high-end research activity, and that's something I'm bringing forward very strongly in my new role. And that's one of the reasons that they're here in the first place. Also, we're in the EU. We're English-speaking. We have the euro. We are a bridge between the States and Europe. So, look, there's lots of good reasons. Sometimes we can forget about them at home. When you travel internationally, you know, you look at the benefits that we have in Ireland, why we're attractive to foreign direct investment, and those benefits remain as strong as they ever were.
Okay. Minister for Higher Education, Research, Innovation and Science, James Lawless, thank you very much for talking to us this morning. I'm joined, before we leave this subject now, by markets journalist Justin Urquhart-Stewart. Justin, good morning. Thank you as well for talking to us. News of these potential layoffs has resulted in a bit of an upswing for Intel stock.
Well, yes, because what it shows is the management, and as you were discussing earlier with Andrew, how that management has changed. New man coming in with a reputation for being rather sharp with his cost cutting. And Intel needs some significant adjustment. It's been left behind, as you were discussing. But, you know, it can easily catch up again in terms of its R&D, and so investing in AI, which it will be doing. And, of course, Ireland's still the perfect position for it. Why? Because if you're an international corporate, you want to go to a country which has actually got experience of reliability and well-educated, and actually has been seen to be offering good partnerships for international corporates. So that's, I would actually be rather positive at the moment. I think the bigger picture to look at is actually what Trump's effects will have on the global economy, and that global economy will impact on Ireland as well.
That was where I was going to come to next, to offset your optimism, I'm afraid. If you were sitting around any boardroom table at the moment, would you not be long-fingering any investment decisions in any country, never mind just Ireland, until you see what the upshot of Trump's initiatives, quote-unquote, are?
Yeah, absolutely right. There's one word that runs any economy, but the same applies in Ireland, and that is confidence. If you don't have confidence, whether it's you and I going out for supper, I don't mean literally you and I going out for supper, but people going out in the evening and spending money, or are they going to move house? Are they going to put money into a new business or just invest via their pension? This is given they have marvelous excuses at the moment to actually do nothing. Why? Because it's never a dead cert, but at the moment you could actually look over the next few months and say this is actually going to be pretty unreliable. So in which case, sitting on your hands is probably quite a good idea. Having said that, there are some jolly good opportunities which will be coming up where very good quality, profitable businesses have been priced lower because of the fear in the markets. Don't try and second guess the market. Don't try and actually say you know where the bottom is. If you are in a position to take a little bit of risk, you can invest smaller amounts as the price is lower for those particular companies. And I'd include Intel in that. Its price shot away, but has come back quite a way. And when there's a little bit more confidence, I think that's going to be good news for the country, good news for actually Intel as well, and also for the workers.
There is, in Irish tech and business circles, a saying that where Intel leads, others will end up following. Do you think that other tech giants are going to look to a similar layoff strategy?
Nearly all of them are, and I'm afraid what you're going to be seeing over the next few years, growth around the world is going to be lower and slower, so all companies will be looking at the bottom line saying, right, where do we cut out? And of course, it's always very difficult because, you know, who is it going to be? Management? Normally, it's the advertising and marketing gets cut out first, or is it manufacturing? Or actually, at the moment, are we actually just going to be deploying our investments for the next generation, actually thinking 10, 20 years ahead, which is what Ireland should be doing with all its suitable tax benefits in place, encouraging, or rather, not just encouraging, making sure that countries like Intel don't go along with the fashion fad coming from President Trump of making it all back in America again. Intel's an international business, and what you don't want to find is suddenly leadership there saying, yes, we must go and wave the star and stripes. Our next investment is going to be in Philadelphia, where it happens to be.
Justin Urquhart-Stewart, thank you very much for joining us this morning.